The Mirror Cracked from Side to Side by Agatha Christie, read by Joan Hickson.
Miss Jane Marple was sitting by her window. The window looked over her garden, once a source of pride to her. That was no longer so. Nowadays she looked out of the window and winced. Active gardening had been forbidden her for some time now. No stooping, no digging, no planting, and at most a little light pruning. Old Laycock, who came 3 times a week, did his best, no doubt, but his best, such as it was, which was not much, was only best according to his lights, and not according to those of his employer. Miss Marple knew exactly what she wanted done, and when she wanted it done, and instructed him duly. Old Laycock then displayed the particular genius, which was that of an enthusiastic agreement and subsequent lack of performance. "That's right, missus. We'll have them make us hope it's there, and the Canterbury's along the wall, and as you say, it ought to be got on with first thing next week." Laycock's excuses were always reasonable, and strongly resembled those of Captain George's in 3 Men in a Boat for avoiding going to sea. In the captain's case, the wind was always wrong, either blowing offshore or inshore, or coming from the unreliable west, or the even more treacherous east. Laycock's was the weather. Too dry, too wet, waterlogged, a nip of frost in the air, or else something of great importance had to come first, usually to do with cabbages or Brussels sprouts, of which he liked to grow in inordinate quantities. Laycock's own principles of gardening were simple, and no employer, however knowledgeable, could wean him from them. They consisted of a great many cups of tea, sweet and strong, as an encouragement to effort, a good deal of sweeping up the leaves in the autumn, and a certain amount of bedding out of his own favourite plants, mainly asters and salvias, to make a nice show, as he put it, in summer. He was all in favour of syringing roses for green fly, but was slow to get around to it, and demand for deep trenching for sweet peas was usually countered by the remark that you ought to see his own sweet peas. Proper treat last year, no fancy stuff done beforehand. To be fair, he was attached to his employers, humoured their fancies in horticulture, so far as no actual hard work was involved. But vegetables he knew to be the real stuff of life. A nice savoy, or a bit of curly kale. Flowers were fancy stuff such as ladies like to go in for, having nothing better to do with their time. He showed his affection by producing presents of the aforementioned asters, salvias, lobelia edging, and summer chrysanthemums. "Been doing some work at them new houses over at the development. Want their gardens laid out nice, they do. More plants than they needed, so I brought along a few, and I put 'em in where them old-fashioned roses ain't looking so well." Thinking of these things, Miss Marple averted her eyes from the garden and picked up her knitting. One had to face the fact. St. Mary Mead was not the place it had been. In a sense, of course, nothing was what it had been. You could blame the war, both the wars, or the younger generation, or women going out to work, or the atom bomb, or just the government. But what one really meant was the simple fact that one was growing old. Miss Marple, who was a very sensible lady, knew that quite well. It was just that, in a queer way, she felt it more in St. Mary Mead, because it had been her home for so long. St. Mary Mead, the old world core of it, was still there. The Blue Boar was there, and the church, and the vicarage, and the little nest of Queen Anne and Georgian houses, of which hers was one.